know, not only about the sexual abuse
demanding
area
all
of corruption,
resign.
But in all areas of corruption. The Pope demanded all the bishops resign. He's accepted the resignations, I think, of 5 or 6. And so that process is going on right now. He's trying to clean that up.
We're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank Thomas Doyle and Peter Eisele. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
And you can hear Democracy Now! Every weekday afternoon on WEFT Community Radio. It's 5 o'clock, and this is the WEFT Courier, a daily information service of WEFT. We broadcast Disability Beat every Monday from 5 to 5:30, followed by Rootstock Radio from 5:30 to 6. Then at 6 p.m., stay tuned for In the Know. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM.
This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with self-advocate Tyson Bedford. But first, disability news for the week of August 27th, 2018. Just days after facing allegations of allowing advertisers to discriminate against people with disabilities and other groups, Facebook says it is taking steps to prevent such activity. The social networking giant said it will remove more than 5,000 categories from the options advertisers can select to target in an effort to prevent misuse. In a posting announcing the changes, Facebook said, quote, "While these options have been used in legitimate ways to reach people interested in a certain product or service, we think minimizing the risk of abuse is more important," end quote. The move follows a formal complaint from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development alleging that Facebook, quote, unlawfully discriminates by enabling advertisers to restrict which Facebook users receive housing-related ads, end quote. The complaint indicated that the company's advertising platform allows landlords and home sellers to choose not to show ads to those with interests in categories like assistance dog, mobility scooter, accessibility, and deaf culture. It also cited categories that housing providers could use to limit who saw their ads based on sex, race, color, religion, national origin, zip code, and whether users have children or have kids of certain ages. HUD says that the opportunity to exclude users based on such interests amounted to violations of the Fair Housing Act, which bans discrimination in housing transactions, including advertising. Facebook said its decision to remove thousands of categories was not in direct response to the HUD action, but rather the result of a long-running review of targeting options. The company declined to detail exactly which categories will be removed, but said that disability-related discrimination concerns were part of the review. Beyond removing categories that could be used to wrongly exclude audiences, Facebook also said it will start requiring all advertisers to certify that they comply with the company's non-discrimination policy in the coming weeks. Previously, the agreement was only necessary to run housing, employment, or credit ads on the platform. And finally, disability advocates are calling on federal education officials to clear up what they say is misleading information that's keeping students with intellectual disabilities from being able to attend post-secondary programs. In a letter to U.S. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos this month, 71 advocacy groups and other stakeholders from across the country said guidance is needed to clarify that funding available under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act and through vocational rehabilitation can be used to pay for transition programs offered on college campuses. The letter states, quote, "This guidance is critically important to support the goals of post-secondary education, employment, and independent living for these students," end quote. More than 250 colleges and universities across the country offer programs for students with intellectual disabilities. Research suggests that individuals who complete such programs are 3 times more likely to have paid employment as compared to others with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Families often request that school districts pay for their children to enroll in a post-secondary program during their last year of eligibility under IDEA, or they ask for vocational rehabilitation to support young adults in such programs after they've left high school. At issue now is whether or not IDEA and vocational rehabilitation funding can be used to pay for the programs. In their letter to DeVos, disability advocates contend that federal law should allow for funding to be available. But they say that correspondence from the Department of Education and comments from staffers in the agency's Rehabilitation Services Administration are sending mixed messages, leading some states and school districts to refuse to cover the cost of post-secondary programs. Said Stephanie Smith Lee, senior policy advisor at the National Down Syndrome Congress, quote, "This is not a problem that's happening all over. It's in certain states and sometimes even certain districts within states." Some families have had to withdraw students with intellectual disabilities from post-secondary programs they've been attending because their funding was discontinued and others have been discouraged from applying, Lee indicated. She also said, quote, "I think the bottom line is, what message does this send to parents and students with intellectual disabilities?" End quote. Lee also said that her group and others aren't asking DeVos to mandate that funds be available for students to attend post-secondary programs, but rather to make clear that the dollars can be used for this purpose. She said advocates have met with Johnny Collette, Assistant Secretary for Special Education and Rehabilitative Services at the Education Department, and his deputy, Kim Ritchie, on that issue. Lee said, quote, "We were encouraged by these discussions, but in the meantime, more and more problems are starting to bubble up." For their part, the Department of Education said they are considering the matter. According to agency spokeswoman Elizabeth Hill, quote, "We have been working closely with this group on these important issues, and we are currently assessing the best ways to be responsive to their recommendations," end quote. And that's the news for this week. You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today by my good friend Tyson Bedford, who I've actually known of longer than I have known in person, so I'm really glad to have him on the show. Welcome to the program, Tyson.
Good to be here.
So why don't you start out by telling the listeners a little bit about who you are and the things that you have done in your life?
Of course. Well, I'm a 21-year-old male that was born and raised in Geneseo, Illinois. I am an alumni of the University of Iowa, more specifically their REACH program. I might talk about them more in about a moment or two. And I currently work at Geneseo's Goodwill retail store.
And how long have you been working at the retail store?
Not too long, or at least not as long as it would seem. I'd say it's been about maybe 10 or 11 months. We're pretty good. We're getting pretty close to the annual checkup.
Do you mind telling people a little bit about your disability, since this is a disability issues program and people don't know you necessarily? What would you want them to know about you?
Right. Well, since I was born, I have been diagnosed with autism. I'm in the autism spectrum. They found that out as soon as they realized that, well, I wasn't talking until age 5, so that was kind of a big hint towards that. Though, as I've started to get more and more, introduced to my disability, even hearing more about my diagnosis when I was getting my Social Security, I found out that it was more comparable to high functioning Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what my disability is.
And so, when you were going through school and so forth, what thoughts did you have for what you wanted for your future? You live in a relatively small town, as do I, and there aren't a lot of businesses out there. So what kinds of things did you think about as being something that you'd really love to do when you get out into the world?
Well, first and foremost, before I even considered getting a job and doing all these other stuff, I wanted to find a secondary education system that could be right for me. And this is where the UI Reach program comes into play. I got introduced to the UI Reach program in, I want to say, either sophomore or junior year of high school. And that was actually when I did a PATH. So,
and PATH stands for? Trick question. Planning Alternative Tomorrows with Hope. And what exactly is that?
Well, the PATH basically, it helps you figure out what you're wanting to do with your life moving forward. And it could either be like a short-term thing, maybe those goals will be reachable in like a month or two. It could be in a year. It could be like half a decade, who knows. The PATH is not exclusive to any certain type of goals. It's a spectrum. It will help you out with any sort of goal or goals if you have multiple of them. It'll help you set up your what you need to do, who you need to make contacts with, who can help you out, so on and so forth.
So on your PATH, do you remember, you've had two done,
yes,
right?
Yep.
So what are some of the long-term goals that you set for yourself during that first PATH?
The first PATH that I had, it was me getting an education. Well, at least that was mainly what my goal was set out to be.
Because you were still in high school at that point, right? Just getting ready to graduate.
Yes, I was. And I honestly didn't know where I wanted to go after high school. Though I had it set in my mind that I at least wanted a secondary education, at the very least.
And so how did you discover the University of Iowa, the REACH program?
Well, I discovered it through my mother, who discovered the program on, I believe it was Facebook. There was an article about the UI REACH program that, they talked about their mission on how on how they teach people with special abilities, how to get through life, how to make budget plans, how to look for appropriate housing. There's a few other general education classes in there as well, but the main focus of the UI Reach program was to further expand on that student's future and where they could potentially be heading to then.
So you went to the Reach program right out of high school?
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And what were some of the classes? Did you take specific classes, or was it a class that you were in that did a whole number of different things?
Well, there were multiple classes, actually. As I said, there was one that looked over housing. There were ones that helped you make budgets. Those kind of mixed in with the economics classes. There was one class that actually helped us prepare to go into internships, which I loved very much. So, those classes were their main focus. Those classes' main focuses were, like I said, to help out those that really didn't really understand or didn't really know how, when, or what to do in those specific categories.
So this was really your first experience being out on your own, like college is for most college students. Did you also live in a dorm, or what was your living situation like?
Yes, we did have a dorm. That would be at Stanley Hall. It was a 10-story dorm. All the boys, including myself, were situated on the 9th floor, while the girls were situated on the 10th. The dorms themselves, they were good, but I guess they could have been better.
I think that's what everybody says about dorms.
Yeah. I don't blame them, though, because of those rooms, they probably weren't any bigger than, like, half a bedroom. Mm-hmm. And, well, some of the rooms had, like, bunk beds. Others had two separate beds. And each of those sizes, I'm guessing, were twin-size frames. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but they were certainly smaller than a king or queen's.
Not like what you had at home,
no,
right?
No, definitely not.
So when you got done with the Reach program, it's a 2-year program, correct?
Yes.
And then it's time to move back home with mom and dad. How excited were you about that?
I'll be honest, I was going to miss all of the teachers and the students that I was able to become good friends with. I still miss them to this day, though occasionally I do go back to the Reach program to at least visit with them and to even introduce new students that are going into the program. Just in case they got any further questions, maybe they'd want to ask somebody that has had experience in that regard.
Yeah, I think that's a great role to play, because I'm sure that other students coming in would much more be interested in what a former student has to say than somebody who's just an administrator of the program. But I know that when you came back from college, you had some pretty big dreams about what you want to do with your future. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. As soon as I got out of college, I wanted to find a job for myself. problem was, I honestly didn't know where to look at first. So I took about maybe a year or a year and a half. Well, no, I guess it wasn't really that long. It was more of like maybe half of a year at the most. So I decided to do some more extracurricular activities. I decided to do some sports on the side, maybe volunteer work for the community. Heck, I even volunteered to do some public speaking and representations for that path, as we mentioned earlier. I'll tell you, those times, they're probably the most favorite times that I've had. Just speaking to people, you know, getting up on a stage, talking on a mic or at a podium. Either way, I just love talking to the audience or a small group. Doesn't really matter the size, about my accomplishments and the path that I've made.
I think just from my observations that you, having gone through the REACH program at the University of Iowa and then coming back and really thinking about your future, I think one of the first things you said to me is that I want to have a career in human services because I want to help people and I want to be an advocate and help people make better lives for themselves. Do you still think that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Geneseo in that regard, however, is a bit low in that department. So, I had to search for an alternative. Enter Goodwill of the Heartland. Their mission is actually right up my alley. Their mission is to help people who face barriers to independence, with everyday needs, be it clothing, their money situations, housing, so on and so forth. I met my boss, Sarah, actually, at a PATH facilitation training class that...
Last year.
Yes, last year. And I don't remember, were you there for that?
I was. I was one of the trainers.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely remember now. So I met Sarah there. I told her about what I wanted to do for a career, about my interest in human services. Well, she basically gave me a card and said, try out for Goodwill. So, I was really interested when I got those words. I searched online, figured out what their goals were, what their message is about, what they really want to do, for a lot of the communities abroad. I couldn't be any happier to have met Sarah and to have gotten a job at this place.
I have met Sarah too, and she is a lovely woman, and she certainly is glad to have you as a part of her program there at the Goodwill. So congratulations to that. But I know you still continue looking for opportunities to speak and so forth. In fact, you did a webinar not too awfully long ago, right? You
yes.
want to talk about that?
Yes, the webinar. Once again, I was talking about my path and pretty much how to get one started for yourself or a friend of yours or somebody that might be looking to figure out where they're going to go with their future. It was actually for an audience of high schoolers. Well, some of the audiences were high schoolers, others were Others were teachers. Others were self-advocates such as myself. We had a pretty wide-ranging audience when it came to that webinar. And we have that actually recorded. So if you do happen to come across that webinar, it might still be up on Facebook and on the on their page.
So it would be the Alliance, the Illinois Self-Advocacy Alliance. Is that that's what you did it for, right?
Yeah, that would be the Illinois Self-Advocacy Alliance. If you go to their page, that particular webinar might be on that Facebook page. You can watch it for free whenever you'd like. I definitely recommend it.
And let's talk a little bit about, just have a couple minutes left here, talk a little bit about one of your other big goals the last time you had a PATH.
Well, my goal for the second PATH, as I am a self-advocate, even though I am a self-advocate, I still am facing slight barriers to independence despite my progress so far. I still don't have my license, though I have a permit now. Well, I got it renewed, but yeah, I'm still working on my license, don't have a car. I'm planning on getting a house for myself. I don't know what kind yet, but I'm hoping that it'll be a small, comfortable house of some sort. Pretty much the second path is pretty much just me attempting to find my own way towards an independent life.
Sure, absolutely. And I mean, that's what everybody really wants for themselves as adults, is to be as independent as possible. So getting your driver's license, having your own place to live, those are not unusual things to want at all.
Of course.
You know, so I congratulate you on that, and I am so glad you're on your way to getting there. I know that with your, you know, families and friends that support you in this, that it will happen.
Thank you.
It's just a matter of when. So is there anything else you want to say before we're done? Anything you want the listeners to remember?
Well, if I am going to leave a footnote on this program, I just want to say that, no matter what your background, no matter what your upbringing, I really just want to know that you can be yourself. Just be your own person. And if you continue to be who you want to be, who you really are, not what people say that you can be or what you should be, then I believe that you are definitely going to have a better time. Lord knows I did when I was given the opportunity.
Thank you so much. Tyson Bedford, self-advocate from Geneseo, Illinois.
Thank you very much, Vicki.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/publicaffairs/disabilitybeat. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great rest of your week.